You know, Raven, I live north of where you're located in Otsego. I drive by that place. I kind of glance at that window, and I've always wondered about tattoos because I don't have one. My daughter does. And I've always wondered how that works. How does one get interested in doing tattooing? What's the history?
How did I get talked into tattooing? I had a shrink that talked us into it. I had a psychologist that told me and my first husband we really should get into our own business because we had a very strong work ethic. We worked sometimes 80 hours a week doing shoe repair, of all things.
Shoe repair?
Yeah, I know, crazy, but at least I got to work with my hands, and it was still kind of artistic, you know. Was there a long history in it? Well, the company's bankrupt now. So it's funny because when I first got into tattooing, it was this whole step out into something that was unknown. Here I had this job that I knew I wouldn't lose, constant paycheck, didn't pay very much, I think maybe $5, $6 an hour. And, you know, here I was off on my own new adventure on my own business. It was going to be a tattoo studio, believe it or not. Me and my ex used to go down to the Bressa, the place where they train and have horses down by Otsego. You know where it is, over by the ski slope.
Bittersweet, yeah.
Yeah. And then the tattooing just kind of took over. So many people wanted custom designs, and back then it was pretty much just flash. It was custom, it was sets of drawings that you bought for the express purpose of doing tattoos for people, and you bought them. There wasn't a whole lot of custom drawing like there is now. With the magazines, all of a sudden, tattoos started getting a whole lot more popular. When I first started, I'd only do a couple a week, maybe. Now I'm booked about a year and 4 months, believe it or not.
Wow. That's
impressive. People from all kinds of life are getting tattoos. We're talking teachers, doctors, low-grade politicians. I've never worked with anybody real famous. Worked with a couple millionaires. Yeah. I worked with Dr. Hook in the Traveling Medicine Show.
Oh.
I worked on him in Union City. I was doing a show down there.
So I see, you know, sitting across the table here from you that you've got quite a few tattoos yourself. You don't do your own, do you? That must
be impossible. Well, that's how you learn, see.
Seriously?
That's what your legs are for.
You did your
see?
Own.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I did about half of them that you can see, and then I've got a bunch on my legs, too.
So you first tattoo yourself and learn, and then you do someone else.
Well, yeah. I mean, how are they going to trust you if you don't trust yourself?
You know, I wondered about that because, you know, you can buy a painting and put it on the wall, and if you don't like it, you take it down. But a tattoo is pretty permanent. And I wondered about that training period. But let's go back a step. How did you learn? How did you paint before that? Did you sketch? Because your work is very intricate.
Well, thank you. It's really important to be able to draw if you're going to tattoo. I've been drawing since... Well, you know, we didn't have cell phones when we were little, so parents would take me to the restaurant. We'd take the paper placemat, flip it over. Dad would pull out this black paper mate pen, and I'd sit there and doodle. So I've been drawing as long as I can remember.
So self-taught, or did you take
Pretty
any
much
art classes?
I did take art at KVCC and at Western. Really great program over there.
Then you open up this shop, and at that point you had how many years under your belt?
Yeah, but tattooing about 30 years. I've had the tattoo shop about 22. So for 7 years, I was working out of my house, as were most of the tattoo artists back then.
Okay.
But then back in 97, everybody started opening up shops, and it was time then.
So talk a little bit more about what made it so popular, because you're right. It seemed to be the thing that was only a small group of people. And now, like you said, everybody's doing it. I see tattoos all over the place. What made it so popular?
The magazines really helped because all of a sudden we saw good artwork and people would bring in the magazines and it's like, I want something like this. And for me as an artist, I would sit and study those magazines for hours. I'd read them cover to cover. I'd read every single little bit of knowledge from Suzanne Fauser and all them people back then. Now with the internet, that's kind of replaced it. I myself haven't even bought a tattoo magazine in quite a while. But with the internet, you get on Google Images, you type in flower, you type in rose tattoo, and there'll be 10,000 roses you can look at. So the internet has really changed it quite a bit.
So is that how you do it? You get your inspiration? You think, I want to do something with a rose, and you look at different images? Or
as a person collecting a tattoo, yes. For me as an artist, I'm sitting in my studio waiting for the client to come in. they sit down, they talk to me about their ideas, they bring their ideas. Sometimes they've got printouts of stuff that they have found on the internet. Sometimes they just have ideas.
Say somebody comes in with an idea, do you first make a sketch? Surely you have something before you apply pen to skin.
Most people do start out with a sketch on paper, yes. I also have quite a few clients that were, you know, at this point, we're working around people that have been collecting for 20 or 30 years. So they've got the little tiny tattoo on each shoulder. They've got the little bitty piece at the bottom, and they want it brought together. So I'm actually doing more freehand work now. Now, that doesn't mean I just take the tattoo machine and go. But we've got different markers, and I can actually draw on the skin, and then they can actually see how it fits them. I think it's pretty important that the tattoo fit your body. It's not just a sticker. It's more like body jewelry, really.
What kind of equipment do you use? How does that ink get into the skin?
That's not a lightweight question.
Does it hurt? You know, how do your customers, your clients, is it painful?
There's a little discomfort. If you take a paper clip and you fold it out and you drag it across your skin to form a white line, that's almost exactly what it feels like. Only I keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah. So, and it probably depends on what body part you're in, how sensitive it is, no?
Yeah, of course. You know, and as a very young person, like young college students, I really suggest you keep them in private areas above the elbow. You know, don't tattoo your face.
Think about time going forward and that your opinions may change or your likes and dislikes may change over time.
For the longest time, I would basically refuse to tattoo anybody below the elbow if they were under the age of 40. And my thought behind that was, I didn't want to limit them from a job. You know, I realize it's their decision, but when you're 18, you may not want to think about, hey, maybe I'll go into the medical field. And really, a lot of those jobs just did not want to tolerate tattoos. It's changing now, I think, partially because they have to, because so many people have tattoos.
Or a midlife crisis.
Or a midlife goal. Divorces. You hit your midlife, you change your hairstyle, your job, and you get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Sometimes you buy a new car. At least the tattoo's cheaper.
You mentioned a divorce. Well, what if you've got that heart with your honey's name on there and honey is no longer a honey? What do you do with people who regret or maybe somebody else did it? Never you, of course, but botched it up. Do you do like repair work, cover-ups, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing cover-ups almost since I've been working. Mostly names. Or sometimes you'll get people running a tattoo machine that don't understand that all ink spreads just a little bit. So if you do the lettering too small, it will actually bleed together and you can't read it.
But then how did you learn? Did somebody teach you? Did you watch someone? Because you'd have to get licensed, right? What are the
license now? We've had to get licensed for the last 10 or 12 years. I don't remember exactly
how
long.
So you must pass some kind of a test?
There's no competency test for that. That's pretty much social media, and you can't stay open if you keep doing bad tattoos.
True.
But I've been doing tattoos for 30 years, mostly self-taught. I did learn some from Crow and Laughing Star Heart. I'm not sure where Crow is anymore. He was out of Indiana.
So along with tattooing, you must do other types of work, too. Like you said, you sometimes draw things. You're not always freehand. Paintings, when I looked at pictures of your work, I saw guitars. I think I even saw a Jeep. And I believe you've just done a stage at Kalamazoo College. So talk about what other art forms you work in.
Yeah, I've been working on that little red truck, little mule, parks around Kalamazoo. You'll see him. I've also got the 99 Beetle that I've painted. That was at Hippie Fest a couple years ago. You might recognize that. Silent Sky, now that was quite the adventure. I got to work with some brilliant minds over at Kalamazoo College on that. It was really neat because they worked around my work schedule. I tattoo quite a bit. So after work, I'd go to the stage and work for a couple hours, and then I'd go home and go to bed. It was really great that they could work around my schedule. That was a 1,200-square-foot painting.
It's huge. Yeah, you were showing me some pictures. And Silent Sky is a play that's coming up at the end of February at Kalamazoo College, part of the Festival Playhouse schedule there. And it's a remarkable, it almost seems to be moving, like there's waves of color when you look at it. And people may not realize what art went into that stage when they go to see a play.
And a little bit of luck. Yeah, it's fashioned after the Christmas Tree Nebula. They wanted me to do an artistic rendition of it. So it's not exact by any stretch, but it was really fun playing with the different colors and trying to capture that. Somebody called it holy smoke. I said, yeah, basically, trying
That's
to capture,
because
it's like plasma
it.
And dust. And
Yeah, waves, plasma, dust. Yeah, that's good. And you also do sculptures?
In the spring, mostly in the summer when my workspace is warm enough, I've been doing sculptures for recycled art in the park. Well, for me, but I've been entering into that. I really like working with discarded household refuge, you know, metal things that have been gotten rid of, engine parts, transmission parts, even motorcycle parts, and bringing them together into another form that can live on.
And if somebody wants, back to tattoos, if somebody wants something done, gosh, well, it must vary from a little star on your shoulder or a full back or whatever. Say you want a small tattoo. What kind of price range are people looking at? How expensive is it?
Here in West Michigan, I hear the average is around $150 an hour. They charge by hour.
By time.
Some people
okay.
charge by time. I charge about $100 an hour right now.
Okay. Well, that makes
Mostly
sense.
Mostly because I'm really detail-oriented. I really like hiding detail and crisp lines, and it takes a little longer. And I want my clients to still be able to afford it.
I've seen, you know, the shading and all of that really kind of makes it pop. It's not a flat drawing at all. Do you have a favorite that you've done or one that you're especially proud of, and what was it?
Well, the correct answer, of course, is the tattoo that's right in front of me, because that tattoo still has the possibility of being the best of my career.
What's that masterpiece?
I can't. There's 30 years of them. One of my masterpieces we just lost a couple weeks ago. He died from a brain tumor.
Oh.
It's really hard to lose those. I've got over 100 hours worth of work on that man. Full back piece, two sleeves, and a leg. I will miss him. Too young. That's one reason why I started getting into the other art forms, because, you know, everybody says tattoos are forever, and well, they kind of are and they kind of aren't. They all wind up, you know. And that's why I wanted to do more in the way of painting and sculpture, too.
Then again, you can't have a painting walking down the street.
True.
Interacting with people.
In that night sky stage, probably the best painting I've ever done will only be around another couple weeks, and then it's gone. It'll be pulled up and recycled into the next show.
Is it painted onto the stage?
Yes, ma'am. They're going to remove the stage. They'll pull the boards up. And a few of them have been spoken for. People are going to reimburse the college for them. But basically, it's only going to exist in its current state for a short time. It's kind of a neat Buddhist thing, almost
it
like
is
a poem.
That, what do they call those, mandalas, or these sand paintings?
Yeah.
You've seen those?
It reminded
Very
me a little bit of that.
Very intricate and beautiful, and then you create that art, but then you have to let go and let it blow away.
Yeah.
When someone is shopping for a tattoo, what should they consider?
Style of the artist. Try to find an artist that you really like their style, unless you're lucky enough to be able to find something or draw something yourself or have your buddy draw it. People mostly come to me because I customize it for them. You know, I've done it for so long. I've done 1,000 roses. I've done 100 dragons. So I can help with that. And I try to really listen to them and what they want to achieve with it.
Is it often something, a fond memory, or that somebody wants to express love for something, a person, a pet, or whatever? What is the usual tattoo, or is there no such thing?
Definitely very individual. A lot of memorials. Finally, people are starting to get living memorials where they get, like, their mother's name before they die. One lady got a half sleeve. Part of it was... She took a fern off of her dad's Hawaiian shirt, because they go to the woods and they have this family thing every year, and it's their bonding thing. They sit around, they drink, they talk about life, they bond, and she wanted to capture a little bit of that. So we've got a campfire and this one fern from this tree, and we just take different motifs from their life and we put it on them, and it's like a good luck charm.
Talk a little bit about your tattoos. Why did you choose what you chose?
The 22 stars are here because my mom died on the 22nd. I've got Vitruvian Man here on the back, a 500-year-old drawing of that Da Vinci did. Yeah. Got a feather with a bird in it. That was done by Judy Parker, a tattoo artist I greatly admire and respect. Fantastic designer. This piece up here is The Thinker, done by Bugs, who's very famous over the pond. Just different things that inspire me. You know, I've got color on one side, I've got black and gray on the other, I've got Celtic piece here that I did.
Yeah.
And then redid and redid because, you know, you learn.
Ah, so when you redo, do you have to, like, color over something? Or how do you do
that? That particular piece was my very first public tattoo. And I first did it in white. But people kept asking, is that a scar? Is that a burn? And so I did it in red. And then people thought it was a tattoo that I was in the middle of. So eventually we just did it full color. Someone called it a brain the other day, which I don't quite understand, but that's okay. I suppose if I have an extra, it wouldn't be so bad.
Anything you'd like to add, Raven?
Thank you so much for meeting with me. It was wonderful to meet you.
It was to meet you as well. Now when I drive by, and maybe one day I'll stop in.
Give me a little beep.
But yeah. Well, thank you, Raven. It's been a pleasure.